You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
A while back, somebody put out, I don't even remember what it was, a Wes Anderson, like a parody if he did a horror movie, right? Well, this is like Wes Anderson's Escape from New York.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of have hope now that now Wes Anderson's just going to go from genre movie to genre movie and do his thing.
This is so cyberpunk. I've been wanting to say that for months.
It's cyberdog.
Yeah, it is.
This is also his version of samurai films, which is an interesting take, because I'm sure somebody who's really steeped in Japanese cinema is going to catch a whole lot of references that I didn't. I mean, I did catch the multiple times using the Seven Samurai theme,
sure,
which was cool.
There's a lot of like the dogs being kind of Ronins, masterless samurai.
It's not that they're servile, but they're servile in the way that samurai are servile,
which is cool way to be servile.
Which is the cool way.
If you want to be servile, here's how you do it: be like dogs.
You have to swear that solemn oath,
and
that vow.
Stupid cats.
Yeah, and cats are evil. Basically,
hey,
Wes
Chris,
Anderson hates cats.
Are you a dog person?
No, I'm not. I'm a cat person, and I've just decreed now
you're
that
an
I'm,
evil mayor.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
right.
Going to kill all the dogs.
No, not Goliath.
No, this movie is clearly just propaganda against cats, and I condemn it. We're talking about Isle of Dogs. I'm Chris.
Marco.
And Bo.
Miguel.
And I'm Zach.
Yeah, this is Wes Anderson returning to, only for the second time, as far as I know, unless there's some shorts I'm unaware of of doing stop-motion animation. And I'll say, obviously Fantastic Mr. Fox I thought was terrific. I love that movie. Even people I know don't generally get into Wes Anderson films, we're like, that's a great
movie.
It's
accessible, yeah.
And this movie, while it certainly is using to some degree similar styles of the stop animation used there, it's breaking a lot of new ground as well. Nobody animates a film like Wes Anderson animates a film.
Absolutely.
This is like mixtures of so many things.
Yeah, there's like all these explosions and like what materials is he using?
Like
is it like cotton?
I love it so
a little bit of smoke and cotton, and the effects are so good.
I do love that all the television monitors switch over to 2D animation.
Yeah, they're all doing it in the style of traditional Japanese illustrations. Mm-hmm. Whenever it's like, it totally switches the style when you're watching a character on TV where it looks like an old Japanese painting.
And there's a couple of old Japanese movies, they're like horror, they're black and white, and I forget what they're called, but...
Onibaba?
Yeah, is that the one where...
Onibaba is one of them.
Where they're like in the rice stalks, and it's just swaying the whole time?
Yeah,
so I noticed that they made the rice stalks, or whatever those plants are, black and white. Mm-hmm. And then they had the colored dogs, and I was like, it really reminded me of that movie. I was like,
even the black and white television sometimes has splashes of color. And I think one of the interesting things he does with this is he starts off saying that this is 20 years into the future. Yet the future looks a whole lot like the 1960s.
Yeah, it looks like the golden age of Japanese New Wave cinema.
It does.
Which is probably the only thing that
with student protest
that Wes
and
Anderson,
everything.
That Wes Anderson knows about Japanese culture comes from this.
Yeah, all right. So the plot, which I would bother getting started, except Bo's just going to take over anyway, so we'll just let Bo do it anyway.
Oh, God. What happened in this? It is in the future. It's in a fictional town. It's Megasaki or Magasaki, one of the two, but kind of a portmanteau. And the principal antagonist, who, speaking of references, is kind of a spot on older Toshiro Mifune type. And the prequel to all of this, they give you a little prologue that's very much a Japanese legend about this family that. The family loved cats and they hated dogs, and this was back when all the dogs in Japan were feral, and so they went on this war of attrition against the dogs, and just as they were about to wipe out the last pack, this boy samurai hero appears, and he says, I disavow humanity, and I'm a dog, and he saves them, and in effect does domesticate them. And the family that started out on its war of attrition, vows revenge. And that's the Kobayashi family, who's the family of the antagonistic mayor. And basically he has cooked up, unbeknownst to many people, he's cooked up a plot to discredit dogs. They've introduced viruses, and they're like, this is a public health threat, and I'm going to keep the province safe. We're going to exile the entire canine population of the province to this island that we've been building out of trash that is very disaster prone, and we'll ship all the dogs out there, and hopefully that will take care of that.
Somewhere in the UK, I believe there is actually, because I only know this from a Doctor Who episode, there is an actual Isle of Dogs that's basically just a trash dump.
It's right next to the Isle of Man, and they're very good friends.
The best of friends.
It's that island's best friend.
It's true.
Yeah, and meanwhile, there's a small boy who crash lands in the on the island who it turns out to be the distant nephew of the current prime minister, who has said, fuck all that, you took my dog, I want my dog back, I'm going to the island for the dog. And he teams up with a group of scrappy dogs that's kind of that we used to be formally domesticated, but they're led by Bryan Cranston, who is the one who is like a street dog, who's kind of led by them anyway. He thinks he's
there's a whole lot of plot to lay out here.
You're not the leader of us.
He's a rather simple
a group
story.
Of
it's a super simple story.
He's the natural leader, and he's
the alpha dog.
He's the alpha dog, but he kind of says like, no, We're a pack. We vote on things.
The other dogs being Ed Norton, Bill Murray, Jeff Goldblum, and Bob Balaban, which in and of itself is I would watch in any context in a movie.
Jeff Goldblum was awesome.
He's delivering.
I love Jeff Goldblum.
The voice cast is great, and they really do. You know, when you hear about who's in this, you think it's kind of going to be very, very focused on, like, you know, these dogs doing bits, and it's not at all that. This is very much a fairy tale hero's journey, and it follows that, and the dogs are they're very much like you know, they find this kind of deposed lord in the form of this little pilot kid, and they become his samurai bodyguard that are going to try to help him on his quest.
Yeah, as they journey across the mountains of garbage and the various islands that all have their own sort of unique distinction of what it used to be.
One of the best bits is that the island has been hit by volcanic eruption, earthquake, tsunami, pretty much anything bad that can happen.
A volcano that triggered a tsunami. The earthquake, so it's a bad place.
And yet they keep putting things there, like they put a garbage treatment plant, and that didn't work, so they put a country club, and that didn't work, and then they put an amusement park, and that didn't work.
So pretty much you might Japan. Say the island has gone to the dog.
Yeah, you might indeed. And part of the pleasure of this movie is there's a lot of different small characters in here, and just seeing all the actors that show up to voice it. One of my favorite being Tilda Swinton voicing this little pug dog that they call Oracle. Who's like, she can see the future. It's like, no, she just understands television.
And her eyes are all like bug-eyed. Yeah. It's super cute.
It is this weird thing where dogs in this world are obviously anthropomorphized to a great degree, and they do dog things, and yet there are other times when they do things that are distinctly only ever would happen in a Wes Anderson film. Like, I want to live in a world where dogs whistle back to you, but apparently that only exists in Wes Andersonville.
Well, you know, a lot of things I wish that they were the way they were only exist in Wes Andersonville. So, you know, it's one of those things I've made my peace with it to some extent. You know, I think that this movie moves really fast. It incorporates a lot of different things from Japanese culture in a very interesting way that they all fuse together. And ultimately, I kept coming back to, it's a post-apocalyptic film. I mean, it isn't. It's just like the way that the world these dogs exist in is very much informed by post-apocalyptic movies.
Yeah. And I'm gonna be one of the people who didn't like the Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
But there is that 1% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I didn't love it. I liked it.
It was the humor was off for me on that one, but the humor on this one was on point. I loved it.
Well, I think that's also because in that case, he was adapting somebody else's story. And that may not have just worked in the translation. This is pretty much uncut Wes Anderson, just animated.
But it's, and also, you know, it's Wes Anderson without having to deal with the confines of reality at all, which he doesn't really deal with much in his later works anyway. But in this,
I think Wes Anderson actually works better, perhaps, in animation. If I love Wes Anderson. He's one of those filmmakers that I think is just like, you can genuinely say as an auteur, you watch a few frames and you go, oh, this must be a Wes Anderson film. And some people either love that or hate that.
Yeah, if you, you know, I get it. If you, Wes Anderson style doesn't appeal to you at all.
Sure.
But you can't say he anyone else resembles him.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
he's totally his own
I mean,
thing.
You can list all of his influences, and he's never been shy about what those are. But
none
what
of those
comes out is feels like nothing else.
It's a totally unique thing. And this is no exception. I guarantee you've never seen an animated film like this.
No.
You've never seen a film like this.
Yeah,
as much as you can chart its influences, once again, it combines into something that is uniquely, you know, for lack of a better term, Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
It doesn't really resemble any other Wes Anderson film, and yet it does, too, you know?
Well, I think because the Japanese influence gives it such a new flavor.
Yeah.
And
divided into chapters, so it feels like Wes Anderson.
Right.
And all the voice cast of people you expect to hear in a Wes Anderson film,
yeah,
doing Wes Anderson-y type dialogue.
Yeah.
But the plot is really something we've never seen him really screw around with before, as
yeah,
we said.
I mean,
and it moves quickly. It's very funny.
It's really funny.
Yeah, very funny. Yeah,
I'll say one. Sorry,
I kept cutting you guys off.
What I want to say is the humor is there, and the voice cast is amazing. But without this I give it up to the animators.
The sight gags are great.
Yeah, it's great.
The design's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, same. I believe it's the same team who worked on that. But it says it's strongly influenced by Rankin Bass, which is not a huge shocker.
Sure.
I mean, that's always, but he seems to be like the one guy still animating in that style.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing that I've always said that my favorite Wes Anderson film to date is Rushmore. And it's the last film where I think it still kind of feels like it's in the real world, only heightened. After that, he gets to, I think, his first major peak, which is Royal Tenenbaums. And suddenly you are in Wes Andersonville. Now he has the budget, the clout, the cast to really just create that
vision.
We can
live in his dreams.
Exactly. I love that little bit where it still feels like a real world. I think the thing of what I really like about this is it's so artificial. For the first time in animation, the artificiality sells the Wes Anderson film, Wes Anderson universe, better than live action does.
I do think he does a lot of interesting things as a director in this. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really cool shots where we'll have like one dog really close to the screen on the left-hand side, and then the rest of the action's happening way in the rest of the frame.
I mean,
it's very
Kurosawa.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's very
focused Kurosawa.
But
it's very
never seen that in an animated film before.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's,
well,
it's striking.
Well, and you need, you know, you need that the fact that this is claymation, and so you do have that 3D element, you need that depth for that shot to really work, and you know it does magnificently.
Also in here, Scarlett Johansson, Harvey Keitel, F. Murray Abraham, Yoko Ono
as Yoko Ono.
Ken Watanabe, Fisher Stevens, Leah Schreiber, Courtney B. Vance, Roman Coppola, Angelica Houston.
I mean, Willem Dafoe wasn't in this.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a film.
Yeah. It's like, I kept waiting for like a Willem Dafoe cameo.
Or, you know, Jason Schwartzman, who actually helped Wes Anderson come up with the story, but does not appear in the cast.
Yeah.
Strangely enough.
I'm okay with that.
You don't like Jason Schwartzman?
He doesn't have to be in everything.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. He doesn't. But he seems like Anderson is a guy he always works with.
Yeah, I loved him in Fantastic Mr. Fox. He's like one of the best voices in that movie.
Meh.
Come on.
Once again, go back to Fantastic Mr.
Yeah,
Fox.
I've revisited that movie a lot, and it really holds up well.
Okay. All right, so let's go to final thoughts. Zach, why don't you get us started?
Well, I love this movie. It's like science fiction-y. It's got dogs in it.
Is it good science fiction?
It's
is it smart science
it's
fiction?
It's smart.
It's not dumb.
It's not for you dummies. All right.
I don't think never mind. I'm not going to interrupt. I'm not going to criticize the science of a cartoon animated stop motion.
No, it's just a great hero's journey. It's a great little adventure quest. My one critique is that I wanted a little bit more of the four other dogs that aren't Bryan Cranston. I want a little bit more of their interaction, and towards the end of it, they're kind of pulled back a little bit, and it focuses more on the boy and
Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston's character, which is
No, Spots Chief. Is Liev Schreiber.
Oh, dude, yeah. Get in the game. Come on,
Chief.
Man.
Chief.
He's not a dog person.
That's all right. I'll let it go.
And it's funny because Bryan Cranston is like out of this cast.
He's the new addition.
He's the one guy who hasn't really worked with Anderson before, but he ends up kind of being very much.
At first, I thought he was Clooney. And I was like,
I did too.
Why did I think this was George Clooney? I didn't think he was in this. And I was like, oh.
I thought Liev Schreiber was Willem Dafoe.
I thought Willem Dafoe was, wait, that's hard to tell.
I thought that was Spots. I don't know. Anyways.
Now that George Clooney is married, he's not allowed to play with Wes Anderson.
I guess. So I could have used a little bit more of that because what's in there is so great. Like, Jeff Goldblum is... It's a reoccurring gag that I don't want to spoil it, but it's really funny. Every time I laughed. He's the standout
of the other dogs.
He provides a lot of exposition, and they actually turn that into a great
joke. Yeah, the exposition is a joke, and so that's great. I really dug the animation. There were a few moments where I don't know how many – I would assume it's 24 frames a second. But there were a few panning shots where I thought, like – I could see like the pan, like I could see the images, the still images. It felt like maybe some of the panning was a little too quick.
Mm-hmm.
But those are all really minor. I just had a great time and, I'll give it a 9 out of 10, dog eyes that are either swollen or cybernetic.
Miguel? I really enjoyed this movie. One of the best things I liked about it is it never got too sappy. Whenever it was right to the point where it gets too sappy, they would show you a death or some bones or something, and it would bring it back to reality, which I really appreciate.
There is something about that Rankin Bass style of showing characters cry, where like the tears swelling up over the kind of glassy eye thing, and that always like is the most effective way to show an animated character cry. Yeah. It gets to you.
and there's enough emotion here without being sappy, which I really liked. So I would give it a 9 out of 10 biscuitos.
Oh.
Biscuito!
Yeah, you know, obviously the usual caveat with Wes Anderson films is if he's not your cup of tea, this is probably not going to be your entry-level film. But, you know, I will say that I think that even though this is PG-13 there's a little bit of, like, there's a surgical scene. I think that is mostly what that's derived from. I definitely think that this could be a very entry-level for a younger viewer. And I do think that this is a really great little, bit of mythology. It rings true with, you know, some Japanese mythology that I've read. And obviously you bring in all of that Japanese new wave influence as well. It's you know, visually stunning. Maybe one of his most stunning films. And, you know, that's something that he's in the wheelhouse. So this is very Wes Anderson-y. As Wes Anderson goes along, he just gets more and more like Wes Anderson. And for me, that's always a rich payoff. I really love this. I think animation fans are really going to like it. Wes Anderson fans are going to love it. You know, if you're one of those people that poo-poo stuff for being too clever, this might not be your cup of tea.
Because it's smart science fiction.
It is. Yeah, it's not for you dummies out there.
It's not for you Annihilation.
If you've ever tried to listen to a Decemberist album and found it insufferable, this is not going to be your cup of tea at all. But it's, you know, fully within stuff that Beau likes. And so I had a really great time with this. I think that as much as I really liked Fantastic Mr. Fox, the animation in this is just so incredible. And it is, it's far, because that was a Roald Dahl adaptation. This is pure Anderson and his writing, you know, writing cronies. And I just really love the end result here. I give it an affectionate 9.5 Wes Andersons out of 10 Wes Andersons.
Nice.
Are you going to outdo us, huh?
Yeah, that's
okay. Marco?
Yeah.
Well, you know, one thing we haven't even talked about is just how they handle the language issues, which I think is really, really smart.
Damn it, I was hoping that would be a mind.
That is such a smart thing that I wanted to talk about.
Incredibly respectful, because when you watch... When you see the trailer of this, you're just like, wow, it looks like your protagonists are Japanese, and who's going to be voicing these people?
Yeah, are you going to whitewash this? And they don't, and it's very smart, and I won't spoil all the various ways. It's not just one thing. There's multiple ways he gets around that
issue. It's clever, and it constantly keeps finding new ways to do it, so it's almost a gag in and of itself, but it makes it where the Japanese cast is all voiced by Japanese actors speaking Japanese.
And even when they don't provide a translation, the performances, the animation, you understand what they're talking about. As I said before, there are certain Wes Anderson films I like more than others. I haven't loved them all, but I have liked them all. This one goes very high up to the top of my favorite Wes Anderson films. And I actually think of his two animated features, it is by far the best, both on a technical and a storytelling level. It's beautiful to look at. You got a great cast of characters. Jokes actually land. I do feel it was a tad too long. I'm a big fan of Wes Anderson dialogue, but sometimes the languors between the lines sometimes feels a little self-consciously long. I think he could have zipped it up a little bit. That's just my own personal preference. That's really my only major complaint, or minor complaint, I should say. I give this film 9.5 out of 10 grieving distant relations.
I'm so glad there wasn't one of us that's like, I hated it.
We needed one of those people.
You dummies.
Because
who's going to be the heel? Who actually loves it?
This is a movie for people who like stupid dogs.
Listen, this is for all you hipsters who just like anything Wes Anderson craps out.
Because I know you guys are all thinking, oh, it's a movie about dogs, pro-dog. It's kind of vaguely anti-cat. Chris is going to hate it. Nope, this movie is great. Still hasn't sold me that dogs are better than cats.
It is anti-cat, though.
It's
very anti-cat. I don't even think it's that. It's anti-people who like cats.
Yes.
That's right. The cats never do anything bad to anybody. It's the people
They sit there looking
cats
super
don't
evil.
Kill people.
Hey, people that's just being a cat. People.
That's true. I guess they just did it normal. That's a normal cat, huh?
I mean, this is charming. It's smart. It's consistently really funny. It's very Wes Anderson, and yet I think there's more than enough here that if you don't consider yourself a Wes Anderson fan, this is something you could really enjoy as well. I've never really seen anything that's like this. I've seen I'm familiar with its influences, never seen anything that put all these things together in quite the way this did. It just kind of mesmerizes and surprises and has little moments that you're kind of enchanted because you're like, oh, what a clever way to do that. You say that to yourself over and over and over again throughout the film. Wow, what a clever way to do that. You know, it's just, it's exciting to watch as such a fully realized project. And I love the hell out of this thing. I mean, I agree that perhaps it is maybe 10, 15 minutes longer than it needs to be, but that's just barely.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple things that probably could have been trimmed down a little bit. And I also agree that it would have been nice if the other four dogs and the pack
a little bit towards
just
the
a tiny bit more detail.
Maybe
to
a couple
characters.
More gags.
You almost forget Bill Murray's even in the group.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's fucking
Bill
Murray. Bill
Murray and Bob Balaban are very underutilized.
They're short shrifted.
If you're going in,
they're basically Wes Anderson's John Ratzenberger.
Yeah.
They just have to be in the movie just to say they did it.
Yeah. But, you know, these are minor quibbles to be sure. I think this is fantastic. I think everyone should see it. And I have no idea what the hell's wrong with Fox Searchlight, who have reduced this nationwide to 27 screens.
Yeah. I trash.
I think the plan is to roll it out for the. It actually is getting released in China.
Is it?
Yes. And very, very few films, anybody who knows, they only allow so many American products.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because the Chinese and the Japanese have a really weird history.
Yeah, the Chinese will watch this and be like, fucking Japanese.
Well, of course the Japanese would kill the
dog. It's a propaganda film against Japan.
But I love this. I will definitely be watching it many more times in my life. I give it 9.5 out of 10 magical cyber dogs. Why not?